Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all you need. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. They're joining us for episode number 364 on a fine night in the heart of Kentucky. This is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting to you live. I'll be joined shortly by our wonderful co-host Holly Phillippe, but you've just got me for right now, and so I've got some updates and a few other things. Got some news and convention stuff to pass along to you, and then of course we have an amazing guest tonight, and it's definitely one that's a favorite of ours and one you don't want to miss. So be sure to hang in there for a little bit, and definitely the stuff we have to share is some good information, because this the key word for the last several days is busy, and busy it has been. So we've barely come up for air, but there's been a lot of good stuff happening, and definitely have some cool stuff to share with you tonight. First of all, we have a couple of new panelists and a couple of new spotlighted guests. On the panelist side of things, just joining the Imaginarium official guest list the other day were Rachel Louise Martin and Greg Bridgman, and definitely give them both a warm welcome. Author, historian Rachel Louise Martin, she has a fantastic workshop in the programming coming up this summer. And then Greg Bridgman is an editor-publisher who also has an amazing workshop. It centers on the topic of metadata in ebooks, something that every author that's engaged in today's publishing world will not want to miss that one at Imaginarium. So that's two new panelists. And then we also have two brand new spotlighted guests. And one of them is, if you ever seen the TV show The Chosen, a smash hit, fantastic show, which I enjoy immensely, as does Holly. This is one of the production crew members is coming aboard with us. So it is Josiah Stendel, and he is a filmmaker, and he's a video marketing expert as well. And, I mean, he's been on all kinds of stuff. He's done commercials for Fortune 500 brands. He works on The Chosen, and then also has worked with some of the biggest performing YouTube channels of all time. His viral successes total over a billion views. That's billion with a B, and have been featured in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and many others. And yes, he's going to be a fabulous addition to Imaginarium, and definitely you don't want to miss getting a chance to meet him, especially if you're an indie filmmaker. Definitely you can pick his brain during the programming at Imaginarium. And then today we just announced somebody that we love very much, and it's Steve O. Shepherd, who is a super talented artist and SFX artist. And I mean, he's done a lot. I mean, he's had over 400 plus published photo shoots. He served as a makeup director for over 20 films, and also been a set designer, makeup artist in 40 TV and film productions. And I mean, his expertise is amazing. I mean, he knows everything from latex, foam latex, silicone, prosthetic application, sculpting, 3D design, prosthesis molding, and prop design. And his specialty area is an airbrush makeup application and art. So, I mean, he's just got a broad range of expertise, loads of experience, and yeah, he's going to be an absolutely fantastic addition to Imaginarium. So looking forward to having all of these new guests aboard. Tomorrow we're going to have be announcing another spotlighted guest. So I'll give you a little scoop, Sean Burton Saunders, who is actually doing a new TV show called Cooking Kentucky, which we're pretty excited about. That's going to be released. We'll get the scoop from him on that. I don't know exactly when that's going to debut, but that's going to be a really interesting kind of foodie show. And Sean is, he's another multifaceted individual, actor, actor, filmmaker, screenwriter, musician, journalist. I mean, he's got a lot going on. But yeah, he'll be announced tomorrow. So. And then we've got, of course, some more workshops and panels. And so, yeah, the work does not stop ever. It just keeps on getting better and better. I mean, it's something that no creative should miss this summer. I mean, the value is just absolutely tremendous at this point, and it's just going to continue to improve. So definitely be on the lookout for more convention updates. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And, being able to share next week a whole slew of new things with you. And then over the weekend, I will definitely give you my feedback on the Conference of Writers in Frankfort, Kentucky. You can still attend if you're in the region. Definitely look up our episode recently with Virginia Smith, where we talk all about the Conference of Writers. Superb one-day event in Frankfort, Kentucky, and it's just chock full of some great programming, great people, and I have the honor of doing a seminar and Q&A that kind of focuses on the topic of what elements of speculative fiction are valuable for all genres of writers. So it's something that's near and dear to my heart. I'm looking forward to doing that seminar, and I'm definitely going to bring you all a full report on how that goes and how the day goes. But we had such a fantastic time last year at the Conference for Writers, Conference of Writers, that I have no doubt this one's going to be even better, because this is their second year. And, full steam ahead with Virginia Smith. And hopefully we have Holly here. I'm going to try to bring her mic aboard. I just saw it pop up in my soundboard here. Holly, we got you yet?
You do. I'm here.
There you are. Okay. It's no problem. Holly's running just a little bit behind today. So I was going solo a little bit there, but don't worry, Holly. I gave everybody the updates on all the new guests that we have, Greg Bridgman, Rachel Louise Martin, Josiah Stendell, and, of course, Steve O. Shepherd. I gave all those updates and was talking about the Conference of Writers coming up Saturday, which you and I are both going to be attending. So, which we covered in the Virginia Smith episode just recently. But that's kind of the batch of updates. So is there anything you would like to add to that, Holly?
Oh, phew. Well, did you talk about, did you talk about Judah's presentations? Yet, did you cover
my presentation? Which one?
Judas.
Yes. We covered those last week. Yeah, we covered those last week. That was part of last week's updates. But I know we'll be covering next week. We'll be covering. I know at least what the workshop from Rachel Louise Martin will be added to the site. And then we have a few other programming elements. And I did mention that Sean Burton Saunders is coming aboard, and I also gave everybody the scoop about his new cooking show. For those of you that are foodie people, I can trip it over my tongue tonight. But that's going to be a fun show.
Me and him have to do an episode together.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, that's going to be just great. And looking in the chat room is open. I did see Metal Beck Harrison pop in there for a second. And, we did have a link issue, which I did see that with this week, but we were able to get that corrected and get some reposts out there, Sandy, so don't worry about that. We're on it, I promise. And Sandy Lender is in the chat room as well and having a fun day. I know she was listening to the Duran Duran album Arcadia in celebration of Duran Duran member Roger Taylor's birthday today. So, you know, as we all know, those of you listen to the show, Sandy happens to be a big fan. So that's
it's
a lot of fun. So, yes.
It's also Carol Burnett's birthday.
Carol Burnett's birthday, too. Yes.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Fond memories growing up of seeing Carol Burnett on television. So, yeah, she's what, 90? 90, you said, Holly?
Yeah, 90 years old.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, definitely happy birthday to Carol. I'm glad to hear that she is still doing well. And Holly said she was looking good at 90 years young. So, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, she looks good.
And, mm-hmm. And, yeah, welcome to Kenzie Michaels. Just joined the chat room. Yeah, so it's going to get lively quick in there, folks. We always take questions and comments, so feel free to join in at any time. And definitely we try to keep an eye on that. And tonight's guest covers so much ground that, yeah, you're bound to have something to say. So, yeah, join in there. If you have any trouble logging in, as always, just refresh the page. And if you happen to – And if you are catching tonight's episode live, but know that we also post these a little bit later, a few days afterwards, on the Seven Star Press YouTube channel and also on Rumble. So two big and awesome video platforms, Rumble and YouTube. And so these get cross-posted. And so, yeah, it's definitely broadening the outreach. We plan to add a few more things pretty soon broaden it even more. But right now, yes, the cross posts are put up there a few days afterwards. So that's that. So, but tonight, definitely want to spotlight the two folks that brought you tonight's show. I should say, several folks technically, but two parties. But Sandy Lender, the genre blender, and Per Bofstedt Publications are the sponsors of tonight's show. So first up, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little spot from Sandy, and then we'll go over and find out a little bit about everyone from Per Bofstedt, Healy Harris, Marion Allen, and Sarah Marion, all of whom you'll meet this summer at Imaginarium if you're attending. So, but first, here is Sandy.
Author Sandy Lender invites you to visit her website at authorsandylender.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylender.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thank you, Sandy. Sandy is awesome and just a fantastic writer, and definitely excited to be with Sandy and some other authors in the upcoming Enchanted Realms anthology that's coming out under the Jumpmaster Press banner. But we're definitely also collaborating that from Seventh Star Press. But that'll be hitting the streets in late July. But I'm excited to have my name up there with Sandy and Stephen Shrewsbury and the others. But thank you, Sandy, for supporting the show. And now over to Per Bofstedt. Per Bofstedt Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bofstedt offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico and A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBofstedtPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at In Conjunction in Indianapolis, in Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July, and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bofstedt Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you, Teely, Sarah, Marion, and Marion Allen. You all are the best. And again, you can't go wrong picking up any of their titles. So, yeah, back to you, Holly, for a second, and then we're going to bring our guest aboard. But, yeah, we're definitely having some fun on TikTok. Just want to mention real quick, yeah, if you're looking for me, it's under StephenZimmer7, and I've got enough followers now there that I can do live streaming, which is exciting. We've actually made our first Imaginarium post on there and having some fun with it, and I'm also releasing some stuff on my books. I do plan on doing some custom videos of me talking very shortly. But yes, at least we're underway. So if you're on there, you're on there, and definitely add us. And then also the last thing I want to mention, tomorrow we're going to definitely put out another appeal for Imaginarium for individual patrons. And that is basically they're $50, so they're not much at all. But these are a great way to support the convention and our mission. We're grassroots. We aren't one of those nice nonprofits that get, you know, a big check from government organizations or big sponsors, like major level, like corporate sponsors. So we definitely, these make a difference, and they're $50 and you get recognized on the website. You can even get recognized on the website with your logo if you choose, or we do have a badge for individuals. But we also put you in the program. We recognize you at the event, at the awards banquet. And no, you don't have to be there in person. Don't worry. But we definitely acknowledge all of our patrons. But they're $50, and you can get them on the Imaginarium site. It's one of the sponsorship options, one of the levels there. But they are only $50, and they help us a lot. So please do give that some consideration. We'll be putting out a little appeal on that tomorrow because we got just so much going on with the convention. So, yeah, every little bit helps a lot. So,
And I do want to mention something before we get our guests on tonight. I'm getting emails about it, and I guess I'm going to have to put a preliminary schedule up on the website. But the schedule for the programming and the expo hall, the vending, will be, you know, from Friday noon to like 6, Saturday 10 to 6, Sunday 10 to 5. Now, it's not set in stone. There will be some earlier programming if, you know, I need the slots, you know, like some 9 a.m. programming on Saturday and Sunday. Not a lot, but a few things. And, you know, like a morning meet and greet or whatever, but like an author get together, have some coffee or whatever, you know, like Saturday morning to start things off, different things like that. And then there'll be some later night panels. You know, I like to do like the erotica and different things like that, or the fun. You know, we've got some James Sabata. He always brings the fun. And, he's got one he wants me to join in on this year. So I'm going to try. And then, I mean, we scootled it to the evening. You know, I have a better chance of not being so tied up. So, we will have some fun evening panels, too, to take care of. And then, of course, there's room parties going on. We will have entertainment. We have the ball on Saturday from like 9 to 12. He goes a little over, you know, if people are having fun and enjoying themselves. The gaming, the game hall runs, you know, from like 10 a.m. all the way through to like 1 a.m. Sometimes they go. If they got a good game going in there on Friday and Saturday night, they'll keep playing. Same way, they will be going at least till midnight and only taking breaks in the early evening, like when, you know, Friday when we do opening ceremonies, Saturday when we do the awards, you know, things like that, they will have a break. So nobody misses anything. And so there's always something to do. And I encourage, please, please, authors, attendees, don't just, you know, only attend panels or only attend, you know, go check out the film festival. You know, watch some films. Take some time and just check out some. There's plenty of short films. They only last, you know, anywhere from 5 minutes up until like 15. You know, there is full features. Those are later in the evening. But, yeah, check it out. I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to check out the gaming hall. There's just all kinds of neat filmmakers. There's authors over there that have made games. about their, you know, characters and their books or their movies. Demetrius Witherspoon, he's got one. He'll be demoing his. David Shearer, Lydia Shearer, you know, author Lydia Shearer's husband. He's got a kitty cat game that y'all need to check out. He's going to be demoing that over there with the game host, which is Bloat Games. And they just always have something going on over there. We will have the schedule in the pamphlet that we hand out, and it will be on the website. So,
all right,
yeah,
great.
That's just preliminary. I just wanted to give everybody an idea.
Fantastic. And with that said, yes, we're going to segue to somebody that actually could be in the game room, who could be in the film room, who could be anywhere at this convention, and is definitely a Imaginarium convention favorite, and she is also a Star Chamber show favorite, and back with us again tonight. Definitely the definition of a Renaissance woman. She is an author, an editor, publisher, an artist, a game designer, among many other things. And from her work with Dragonfly Press to her Two Crows events, Craft Paper, Muse Magazine, Twitch live streams, and her cosplay group that she's with, the Kentucky Browncoats, she is just one of the most creative and multifaceted talents that you will meet. And with that being said, you know who I'm talking about, the one, the only, Renmelian. Renmelian, you are live.
How can I follow that? Thank you so happy to be back.
Well, you cover so much and you have so many aspects to your creative world. I mean, Ollie and I talk about that regularly, just on average days in the office. We're like, how does she keep all that? Because we have enough trouble keeping what we do organized. But you know, we got the convention, the press, my writing, and, you know, of course, editing work. And then Holly's got a couple of things, other things. But, you know, with you, I mean, it's just like I just said in the intro, I mean, it is a lot of different moving parts. And I mean, just, it's amazing. So, yes, we're ready to catch up. Yeah, and we're ready to catch up with you tonight and get up to speed on the world of Renmelian. And if that's not enough, I want to thank you publicly for coming aboard as a sponsor with the convention again. And like I said, it makes such a difference. Because you know, we're a grassroots built convention, and we didn't have like a major a corporate giant come in with a huge, you know, it definitely every bit helps. And so we wanted to thank you very much for that, and definitely you're gonna have a big presence this summer. But bring us up to speed and tell us where you would like to start. But we'll cover it all tonight. Don't worry.
Oh, gosh. Well, next month, which is next week pretty much, mid-month in May, I'm going to be launching two client children's books. One is by DJ Bowers, who is the bartender at Imaginarium at the hotel there. Hillbilly set me up with him with Three Ravens and has been sending me children's book people because Three Ravens doesn't handle the children's book stuff. So he's been sending me people, and he and DJ had gotten to talk about Billy the Bear. So we have a Billy the Bear book coming out in May. And then I've got another book that I've worked on called Clara the Caterpillar by Vance Lewis. And that is also coming out in May. And then after that book is out, I'm actually doing a board game that we've already started called Slow Down Sammy that I'm working on. So I'm excited.
That's awesome. And I know May also has the event for you too with Two Crows. So that's lots going on in May, which is right around the corner. Yeah, that is awesome. Congrats. I did not know.
I'm doing.
Yeah, that is amazing. But I did not know that, one of the children's book authors also have to be one of the bartenders that we love and know at Imaginarium. That is what a small world. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
So that is great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because I had met him briefly, but I was running around Imaginarium so much I didn't really spend a whole lot of time at the bar. But I had seen him And then, so I knew who he was when Scott, a.k.a. Hillbilly, had sent me an email from him. And then we got to talking, and it's just, it's been fun, so fun creating this bear, because it's Billy the Bear Finds Underwear. And I can't really give anything else away from it, but it is a children's book. God. There's going to be a series of them, and it is, the character is turned out really cute. I'm really proud of it. So we've had a lot of fun with that. And for May, I do have Two Crows May 20th, but I'm also, the weekend before that, I'm going to be in Lexington at the Art Hotel there for Half Tone Zine Fest, which is the sister zine fest to the one I'm launching in July. We're going to have four shows a year. Three of them are the mid-range juried art shows, and then we're going to have the zine fest in July. So we're premiering Exposition, which is ours, at Half Tone. And Half Tone used to be Kentucky Fried Zine Fest, but they left because of COVID, and then they weren't going to do it, but zines are addictive, so they're back, and they rebranded. So we set up with a table there, and I'm also going to be running a collaborative zine under Exposition. So Renmelian and Exposition will be there.
And for those who don't know what a zine is, could you explain it? Because I had no idea until I met you exactly what a zine was.
Zines are probably the earliest form of independent press. It goes all the way back to Thomas Paine's little book. It's basically usually a half sheet booklet. They've come up with different variations that are one-page zines with fancy folds that you could literally make with just a pen and a piece of paper, all the way down to little teeny tiny little ones that'll fit in gumball machine containers. But it's popular. It was popular in the 20s, and then it had a huge resurgence in the 60s with, sorry, I can't talk tonight for some reason.
You're fine. Thank you, Seth.
They had a huge resurgence in the 60s and 70s with punk music, feminism. It was how you got your message out. You make these little, you know, pair of scissors and a glue stick and a Xerox machine, and you had a publication. And so, you know, they're supposed to be artsy. They're supposed to be, you know, not perfect. Some people make them into art forms and use risograph machines, which is like a cross between a screen printing machine and a Xerox. And usually bright neon colors, that kind of thing. The little mini zines that I do are really popular. Those are literally one sheet of paper. You do a few folds. I have a YouTube video up that has the tutorial for it, but you do a few folds and make a little slit in the middle of the paper, and you flip it around, and it's a book, and it becomes a little 8-page book. So those are magic to make. Those are a lot of fun. But I use them for promo. I've encouraged people that cosplay, if you have a backstory for your character and you're cosplaying an original character, you can use it as a little, you know, storybook, basically, to introduce your character and to advertise for what you do. I've had people that make jewelry use it as almost like a little template where it'll tell you, you know, if you've ever done any kind of jewelry or any kind of beadwork, there's those plastic trays that you can get that have little channels that you can put the beads in.
Yeah.
Somebody that I know here in Berea does transformation necklaces, and they're almost like they have specific meanings to the beads and the placement, almost like a rosary, only it's very pagan, very goddessy. And I was like, well, put a tutorial on how to make it on one side, and then just when they open it up to the full page, you can put a little schematic, a little drawing as to where the beads go, you know, that kind of thing. We've used them for market books to get advertisers for the events. We've used them for just about everything. And I have one that's a hero's journey that's a distilled version of the Chris Vogler 12-step down into 8-step for the hero's journey that I carry blank ones with me. And if I want to, I can write a complete story arc on it, you know. So there's so many different uses for them. So everything from grocery lists to actual business application.
Nice.
That sounds fun. It does. It sounds fun. And it's a whole
lot
easier and crafty. It's a whole lot easier than actually book binding, which I know you love. I know you do. But yeah, it's a whole lot easier than book binding.
Holly is scarred for life. She,
yes.
We had my daughter's 21st birthday last year. Yeah, we had my daughter's 21st birthday last year. And we rented an Airbnb, and we did like a witchy art weekend. And one of the things that I taught everybody how to do was bookbinding. Yeah. And Holly and our friend Julia were like, no, I am never touching this again. I'm done.
I know when it's past
I'm teaching it this weekend in Indiana. I'm going to be in New Albany, Indiana at The Root on Saturday from 11 to 3. Teaching bookbinding.
Oh,
well, if it wasn't for the Conference of Writers, Renmillion, I know Holly would be at that session. I know she'd be all over it.
She can always come down next Wednesday morning. I'm going to be at the library teaching my Crone group because I started a kind of a meditative Crone group. And we've got our third meeting next Wednesday morning, and we're meeting at the library, and we're doing bookbinding.
Oh, well, Holly will be there. Yes, you can count on it.
On.
She loves it.
It is hard. As I said, I have a whole new respect for the old, bookmakers. My Lord, I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they were so expensive.
And I'm low end. Anything that I'm teaching, that's, you know, straight kettle stitch, and that's, you know, just basic stuff. There's people that it's a serious high-level art form. And, you know, they make their own paper for it. They make their own thread for it. They make their own, you know, everything from start to finish. Yeah. We're actually looking at doing paper making and making our own paper for the journals so that we can get them in Horophony and Hedge because we've already talked to them in Covington. And they're an arcane shop. Absolutely gorgeous. Looks like it's out of time. Completely, because it's very art deco.
So bad.
I know we need to kidnap you one day and go up there and get good food and at Hofbrauhaus, the German restaurant up that way.
As long as I ain't one of them, you take me to Hofbrauhaus, I can't trust.
Kidnap me too. Hofbrauhaus,
oh, yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, because they have. Have you guys been there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
We made the mistake. Yeah. I tell you, we made the mistake of ordering their appetizer sampler. Sampler being the key word that we were focused on, and then we ordered an entree. Well, let me tell you, the sampler turned out to be like more than
a meal
just by itself. Yeah.
The Reuben appetizers.
Yeah, we way overdid it.
The sauerkraut with the corned beef. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I
the Reuben balls, I think they were.
A lot, Keith.
Were they Reuben balls, were they, Holly? I think
Reuben balls
and
hot keys.
We've
decided next time we go, we're just going to split an entree and then get two appetizers and then dessert and split dessert.
Well, me and Steve get the sampler. We just get the sampler. And then I drink like a gallon of beer while I'm there. So, you know, that's all I need.
We did that when the Van Gogh exhibit was in Cincinnati. And for the dinner that night, we went there. And Holly, there is a picture on Holly's Facebook. If you have Holly on Facebook, look at her images because she has a picture of her with her gigantic beer mug. I mean, it is enormous. It was awesome.
Yeah, they're really good.
Well, you can flavor. I don't know if you know that, but you can add any of the flavors they got to any of the beers they got. They'll add the flavor. Mm-hmm. So I added the mandarin orange to, like, I don't remember what it was, but I added the orange to something. My God, was it good.
That sounds good.
It was really good. But the basic beer, I believe, is made.
We want to go back.
Yeah.
The other place we're going to go back to is in Knoxville, called Aubrey's at the Paper Mill. And it's over near McKay Books, which you would love McKay Books. It's like a Walmart, only it's a used bookstore. It's huge. It kind of reminds me of Chamblin's that we had down in Florida. But we went to McKay's and we were looking for some place to eat nearby, and we went to Aubrey's, and they have the best fish and chips I've ever had in my life, and that is saying a lot. It blows the pub in Lexington, when they were open, out of the water completely.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
They were pretty good.
They have a Dark Horse Vanilla Cream Ale there.
Ooh.
That is insanely good that we can't get anywhere else. So it's like we need to go back down because I want to buy a case of this stuff.
No kidding.
I'm not much of a beer person. I have to be in the mood, and I have to, like, if it's a really hot day, I'm all over having a beer. But I'm more of, like, wine and mixed drink because ex-bartender. Yeah. And this, I tasted, Val got one, I tasted it and was just like, I cannot get enough of it. That is bad, because I would drink a case of it. It's really good.
Holly, the universe is telling me
I
need
a case of it and bring it.
Yeah, the universe is telling me I need to have some beer because, I've been watching one of my favorite YouTube shows on Sea of Tranquility channel, the UK connection, two lovely fellows that are on it with the host Pete Pardo, Simon Bray, and Stephen Reed. Every time they do a show, they always drink a beer, and they always have these amazing beers that I get tempted by. And now they're nearly in talking by this. I mean, I think the universe is telling me I need
beer. Yeah, you can only get it in Tennessee. Yeah, you can only get it in Tennessee.
Nice.
It's made in Tennessee. I don't think it's an IPA. I'll have to look, but it was so good. Their food, everything, service, pricing, all of it.
What's
that
one that Silvio brings once in a while, Steve? That he gets it over at Liquor Bar. Do you remember? He brings the six pack every now and then. I can't remember what
Silvio?
It's called.
That Silvio gets, I can't remember what it is. There's so many.
Yeah.
I'm just glad if
love
I
love it. Whatever it is, it's some kind of beer, but it's it's not an IPA either. But my God, it's like aged in deep bourbon barrels, something like that. But
yeah, one of those.
Oh, wow.
Right.
What it is. I'll have to ask Silvio.
Those can be
God,
be really good. Yeah, those are good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's black. It's Black Horse Brewery out of Tennessee. So it's Black Horse, not Dark Horse, but it's vanilla cream ale.
Gotcha.
I'll link y'all.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll have to take two vehicles down there so that we have plenty of space to load up cases of this stuff to bring back.
Yeah, no doubt.
Evidently. Wow, that sounds awesome. But, geez. Well, now you've got y'all have got me hungry now.
It's like road trip. That would be a dream job for me, is just, you know, eat and drink my way around the world, and just eat art all over.
Well, right, because like I was just talking about with Sean Burton Saunders starting Cooking Kentucky. That's what he's going to be literally doing, is just going around and eating places and, you know, getting a video shot at the various spots.
See,
so
I needed to do that for a long time, but I just don't have the time.
No, not right now. That's for sure. But speaking of time, I mean, to shift on to another area of the Renmelian world, how is the, because I've been paying a lot more attention in the last few months to live streaming and the art of that. And, you know, like I said, I'm only made baby steps on TikTok. I will eventually do a few things there, but you're a pro at that. And so how are things going with the Twitch live streaming, and what's been going on in your live streaming world? Cause that's a area I know a lot of folks are fascinated with.
Twitch has been a blast. I've been there, I think it's going to be 3 years in September, and just the community there and the community that we've built on Discord. So we have a Discord server that they can share, you know, what their art projects are, what they're reading, what they're writing. I do creative exercises there for writing and for art. You know, just general chat, what's going on in your lives, and just holding space and being a support for each other. And I've got about 68 members there, but we're a pretty tight group. And I've actually been doing, I designed a Go Fish deck with my regulars that are on Twitch. So when they come in there and they're actively hanging out on art night and they're talking, so I made them, you know, pick an animal and tell me what, you know, what you want that creature to be doing. So we have Val is a panda, and
cool.
he's making characters and has dice in front of him and has a character sheet in front of him. So D&D. We have, Issa my daughter wasn't one of the regulars, so she's not in this first deck, but I ended up on my card is a moon rabbit making zines, and there's a little ladybug on the desk in front of me, so that's my little ode to my girl. But she's going to be in the second deck, though, because she's actually on Twitch now, too, and she just got affiliate and has her first 3 subscribers. I sniped the first spot.
I love her TikTok.
Yeah, she's just getting into doing TikTok, and so am I.
Love it.
And she's got some really cute videos up. I have been doing my time lapses for my art, because Procreate, the digital app that I use, actually records, by default, records the time lapses of your artwork. So I was posting those on there. So I was like, oh, cool, it's something I can use these for. So they're up before I, you know, clear them off my storage on my iPad. But I've done a couple other ones, and she and I are actually looking at a couple of singing ones that we're thinking about stitching with other people. But she's been having a blast on Twitch, though, and she has been doing Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 3, she does art. And she's been having all of her viewers give her 2 or 3 different animals and a biome, and she's making D&D characters out of them. So she's drawing, like, these animal mashups. So I came up with the idea of, you know, make this into a body of work for a portfolio, and I'll publish a zoology book if you want to make this into a book.
So she's
working on that. And then Friday she switches between either gaming or painting miniatures. So she's been having a really good time with that. And it's been fun to just, you know, sit and hang out and chat with her. If she does gaming, I'll usually jump in game with her. So it's kind of like my family game night stream, where I have, you know, friends from all over get on Discord. Or maybe Val and I are running around Destiny 2, or we're doing Guild Wars 2 or Valheim, or I'm playing indie games, that kind of thing. So it's been a lot of fun.
Fantastic. I'm going to have to definitely get that zoology mashup book, because, you know, I love to play those characters in D&D. Like, mine are like either a tiefling or a lion man or something like that. So I love mashup kind
love
of kid characters.
It.
One of the creatures
I want to say was a lion and a centaur mix.
Oh, cool.
It turned out gorgeous. Yeah, she's got some really cool stuff.
That is awesome.
Well, I need an axolotl character is what I need.
She actually, I think I suggested an axolotl one time just to, because we've been trying to give her challenges and actually, you know, coming up with some crazy stuff.
I'll have to see
if she could mash it up.
I'd love to see an axolotl.
I'll have to link you to her stuff, but she's rock,
yes,
paper, fox, nerd on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
The rock, paper, fox, nerd.
Well, she's rock,
cool,
paper,
so that's
fox,
her handle.
Twitter, I mean,
nerd.
On Twitter, on,
yeah,
on TikTok, because I follow her on TikTok.
Yeah.
And she'll send me, like, when she,
yeah,
does her new stuff, she'll always send them,
yeah,
so I know, and then I can go watch,
yep,
them and like them for her and comment on them.
Yeah.
Yep. She's been having a lot of fun with it, and she's going to start doing some more cosplay stuff here, too.
Yeah, she did a really cool robot. Wally,
mm-hmm,
she did a Wally,
yeah,
thing the other day. Oh, it's really cool. I liked it.
Yeah,
I
love that she's getting more creative with it, and she's getting, you know, I meet up with her a couple of times a week, and we'll go over, you know, what are your goals, what are you working on, is there a way that you can combine things so that you're not doing five different things, you're only doing two different things, but there's crossover. I'll try to. You know, I grew up multitasking and people telling me because I had so many interests that I needed to focus.
Right.
Being able to multitask is in demand. And it's a matter of my projects multitask for me. I do still multitask, but not near what I used to. I had a friend that used to call me or text me on Messenger. And we get on chat, he was out in Seattle, and he's asking, he's like, okay, how many are you doing right now? I'm like, what? What
right.
do you mean? He's like, how many different things are you doing right now? Tell me exactly what you're doing right now. And I'd be like, okay, well, I have this show going on in the background. I'm
uh-huh.
reading a book. I'm crocheting something. And
uh-huh.
I'm making notes on a story. I think the worst
right.
I ever did, I had like 9 things going on at one time, including talking to him.
Does not surprise me. Does
so,
not surprise
yeah,
me.
So I'm not quite that bad anymore. I do still multitask, but it's definitely never boring around here.
No.
Well,
yeah.
That's what Stephen concentrates, you know, his brain works on one thing at a time, you know, but
mm-hmm.
then you have me and then he'll say, Holly, You got to just hold on a minute because I'm focusing on this. Don't talk to me about that right now. I'm focusing on this because here's me. I've got 30 tabs open in my brain and 30 on the laptop. And then I've got, you know, like 2 desktops going. My phones are going and hell, I've even had my Kindle going. So, yeah, I mean, I'm like boom, all over the place. Plus, I'm doing laundry. Got that going, food cooking,
yeah.
and, you know, or bread arising. Or, you know, I'm doing all these things because that's how my brain works. And that's
yeah.
how I function. That's my ADHD brain untreated.
Yeah.
And that's how I've been my whole life. So, yeah, it's just
yeah.
It's
I'm actually
exhausting.
I'm ADD and I'm ADD, not
yeah.
ADHD, and have been
right.
self-managing my whole life.
Yes,
pretty
correct.
Much. But my mom is ADHD, and
yeah,
it's been interesting. But
well, you know, if you're sitting beside me, my legs always go in. Or have to, like when I'm editing, you know, I've got to have music playing. I've got to
yeah.
be tapping.
Yeah.
I've got to do something with my fingers, or I've got to be munching on something or doing something else because
yeah.
otherwise I'll fall asleep. Or I about fell out of the computer chair earlier. I was editing, and I was like, whoa, and Steve's like, what? You know. I almost fell out of the chair because I was literally hyper-focused and I wasn't moving other things around and,
well,
and I wouldn't shake my leg and doing all this and I just went to sleep and I almost fell out of the chair. So, you know.
I was about to say that when you're working as an editor, when Holly's working as an editor, though, she does laser in and that's what I mean. She does focus on just that. I mean, it's interesting
I'm doing
to watch
that with
her editing
right
mode.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she
I'm
does
doing
the,
that with
the,
revisions
the
right now.
100 things at
you
once
know
normally, but when it comes to editing, she does
yep.
laser
oh, yeah,
in
editing,
on that.
I hyper focus,
yeah.
And you know, but I still got to have, I got to have my hands doing something. Like, you know, my hands got to be tapping, or I'm playing with my fingers, or, you know, or a fidget toy, or so I got to be doing something else, because that's how my brain fires. It's a different world being normal.
Yeah, me it's coffee, water, maybe a snack, and I'm in either in doc on the, you know, Google Doc on the computer, or I'm right straight into InDesign if I'm laying out the book. I'm doing it. I've got Stalemate in beta right now, and have been doing, you know, active revisions on that. And so I just put in like Prodigy or Rammstein or The Who or something and just completely metal out, you know, with the headset on and do it till it's done. I'll get through probably 3-4 chapters a day. So, but it's I have those moments of hyper focus, and if I could find a way to bottle that,
right? Because when we're zeroed in, we get so much done. Oh my God, it's like wow! If I could do this every day and wake up,
figure
like
out
this,
what my triggers are. Oh my gosh,
you conquer the world. You
take over the world.
Yes. Oh, it's the truth.
Speaking of taking over the world, I'm going to segue into something we were talking about. AI.
Oh, yes.
Here's the elephant in the room.
There's a topic we welcome discussion on. Yeah, we've been talking about Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's like, has everybody not seen iRobot? Like, have you not seen the sci-fi movies that have come out recently? But when it first came on the scene, and everybody was really talking about it, because let's be honest, AI has been around for a while. You know, anytime you allow Google to listen in on anything, it's AI. You're dealing with, you know, your entire life has been recorded, or, you know, read back to you, or, you know.
Well, they know what we're thinking at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but it's just
algorithms.
When they're getting to the point where I have a big issue with quote unquote authors creating, like, there was somebody that created a children's book illustration and writing.
I saw that.
Using AI. I have a big problem with
that.
I've had artists apply to my shows that
using AI.
Insist they are artists because they created it, but they used AI to create it.
Oh, my God.
Right.
And
wow.
I won't take them. I will not take them. You're going to have people that are literally dumbed down because they don't know how to think for themselves anymore, going through college and using ChatGPT or, you know, any number of things. They're not actually authoring their own material anymore. So they're getting grades that aren't even theirs.
The chat, the whole chat thing, the next time you come, they have a new thing. They're doing a study. On what university is it, Steve? I don't remember the university.
Oh,
but anyway,
when
you come for DMV night, we're going to do this. I'm going to show you. If you talk about freaky with Alexa, you say, Alexa, I want a chat. And she'll open up this chat. And she will talk to you. They're gearing her to be able to chat with you for 20 minutes and hold a human conversation with emotion, and she interacts with you, but you start nailing her with some weird off-the-wall questions, and some of the things that she starts answering back with gets pretty wild. And then all of a sudden, the creators, you know, the handlers will, you know, cut her off and put you over to another bot, and then she'll quit answering. She'll take you down a rabbit hole, That'll only go so far, you know what I mean? And then they cut her off. And then she, you know, you get another bump. And it's bizarre, the rabbit holes we've been down. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
We've had some crazy stuff. Those of us that understand the consequences to this are scared for the other huge percentage of people that just don't get it. And I've had discussions like Kenzie talking about the cover designer. I would be absolutely furious too. That's not cool.
No. That's what I said. It's okay to have fun. Like, I'll do my profile image on Facebook in AI or some of the generated things, you know. I'll do that stuff. But as far as, like, using it for anything that's commercial or, you know, stuff like that, no. I mean, you can use the images as, like, inspiration, but come up with your own stuff or get an artist that comes up with their own stuff. You know what I mean? We all draw for inspiration. I mean, authors draw from their favorite authors, you know, but there's a difference between inspiration and copying, you know, plagiarism.
I've had people do that with my work before, and it's infuriating. So, you know, when they started talking about artwork being trained without permission from other artists and, you know, people's work being stolen without consent, which obviously stolen means no consent, but you know what I mean? But it's, there's a couple of sites that you can check to see if your stuff has been trained into the AI so far. Knock on wood, mine has not. But I have several friends who make their living doing art full time, and their stuff has been stolen. And it's hard enough to compete with big corporations. You get stuff like this, you know, this is kind of the reason why I got out of doing web design, because there were too many free sites that were competing. Nobody wanted to pay for a site, or they go create it and then come to me to fix it, but didn't want to pay because they did all the work. The whatever, you know, AI online did all the work, and why would they pay me to fix it? So I stopped doing it because it was just not worth the stress and the hassle. Even with coming up with unique ideas, after a while, there's somebody that's going to repeat it. And with the copyright laws, the way they are, where you can literally change something 30% and call it your own, that makes it extremely difficult to come up with new stuff that's unique enough that has, because it all has a season, you know what I mean? So, you know, get it in there, do good while you can, because somebody is going to come up with something that's, you know, you got to be on your toes and just constantly creating new, which can be exhausting. But it's, you know, being that stuff is able to be entered into contests, stuff that's, you know, taking over jobs for people, and the people that are complaining about, oh, well, you know, I got laid off from my company because they automated something, but then they have no problem using AI to write or to create something else. They just, they don't see the correlation. They don't get it.
Right. And like I was telling Kenzie in the chat, it's fine if you're trading like skill for skill. Say like you want to make art for me and I do some editing for you or something, you know, just that as an example. If you're trading skill for skill, that's one thing. But to expect someone to do something for you free and you're offering them nothing in return, that's not okay.
They had a movement there for a while that it was, I won't drop the bomb, but it was basically F you pay me was the thing, because in fact, I saw a quote recently that was, People will know your worth, but then they get disgruntled when you won't give them a discount on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something to that effect. And it's just, yeah.
Well, I'm on.
But I don't know how to counteract some of this stuff.
Well, I know you feel, because I mean I have very reasonable flat rates for my editing work, but that's because I know exactly how many hours and hours and hours go into that, and yeah, mm-hmm. I mean that's not something I can discount on, because I'm already working at a lower rate overall even as is, so. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough to do, especially when that's, how you're paying the bills. But with AI, I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's getting into every zone, because I'll give you two examples. It's coming into the video film world. Today I saw going around on Twitter was a mock, like, full pizza commercial, and it was totally AI generated and scripted. Then another place had done, like, a mock imaginary trailer of what Street Fighter as a 90s movie would look like, and it came up with a full movie style trailer, a video,
yeah.
and it was completely AI generated again. And it looked, I mean, and the trailer looked like something like, yeah, I'd actually, want to see that movie. I mean, is that good, that polished? And you could tell, you could kind of tell if you look close, so that, it's not quite there.
Yeah, if you know what to look for.
But the point is that, filmmakers are now contending with it. And
yeah.
their sphere, and I'm sure
yeah,
gamers
I've
are
seen
too.
A few examples
video
of that.
Game designers.
Yeah, it's already putting a lot of people out of work, and I was already getting red flags when it was like, oh, you can make this avatar. Which, don't get me wrong, the avatars that I have seen people create are absolutely gorgeous. It has taken everything in my being not to want to play with it. And it's just like, mm-hmm. I can't bring myself to do it, because I know that it's stealing somebody else's work. And I was getting red flags with the idea that, okay, for me to do this, I have to upload 20 different, I have to upload 20 photos of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That flags red security risk for me right there. But them being able to do it vocally. There was a news report recently where a woman got a ransom call about her daughter, and her daughter's voice was on the phone, and she freaked out and she called her daughter's phone after she got off the phone with them, and her daughter was fine. Her daughter was off with friends skiing.
Uh-huh.
They had mimicked her based on her daughter's social media. She did.
Mm-hmm.
They copied her voice, AI copied her voice off her social media, like off her TikTok or anything that she had videos
uh-huh.
of, and mimicked her daughter's voice to do this
uh-huh.
ransom scam.
Yep.
So
Holly dealt with that.
Yeah.
Holly dealt with that with her mother and her son, Noah. Her mom got fooled by almost exactly the same thing. This person called and said that they were his attorney, and that Noah had gotten intoxicated at some aquarium in Atlanta, and had gotten a car wreck, and he was in trouble and needed this money immediately to pay his attorney fees. And his mom, kind of fell for it. But thank God Holly and I stayed up at night overnight, and we were able to get it intercepted, because you actually can intercept delivery up through the post office. And so we were able to get it intercepted. And so thankfully the money was returned to her mother. But interestingly enough, by a guy in a suit, of all things, a full suit. So you're probably a law enforcement individual, but same thing happened. I mean, they impersonated the voice and could have been AI, Holly. I mean, that could have been, who knows? I mean,
yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Holly, if you're listening, let's see. There you go. Someone's wrong
yeah.
with your mic there. But yes, so Noah could have been AI too, for all we know. Same thing happened.
Well, that's it, because Mom said it sounded just like him, that it sounded just like Noah, and she said it was his voice and everything. And I said, well, you know what all they're pulling off. And I mean, they were going to take her for $5,000 in total. And me and Steve happened to intercept that. We were up till like 3 or 4 in the morning to get that taken care of. But you know, my mom's, you know, almost 90 years old. So this happened a couple years ago.
Yeah, my mom's not tech savvy, and I constantly monitor her stuff because she's
It scares them.
She doesn't understand the level that they can do. You know, even the level that I can do. You know, I can go in and create a fake site and do this, that, and the other.
Yep.
And my mom would never know.
Right.
You know, older people that are not tech savvy would have no clue. And it's not right. It's just, I love these guys that are on YouTube that actually take on the scammers and scam them and then shut all their stuff down.
Let's make it scarier. The technology I just talked to you about with the film that the filmmakers are having to contend with now, you could actually use that to scam like through a mock Zoom call where you actually not only hear the person, but you see them and it looks like them on the screen.
Yes. People do it all the time on TikTok and stuff. And as I said, they're even showing you can do it. They're doing it with political leaders. There was a thing going around for a while that Putin said this and Putin said that. And it showed him talking. It looks like he was speaking the words, and then it was translating. But he wasn't actually singing that.
Well,
they do that
for fun on YouTube with the bad lip reading, bad lip reading videos. They do that all the time on YouTube, and that's not even AI. That's somebody being able to edit.
Right.
Somebody give that control to AI, and it gets really scary. And I'm a mom. So I saw that article and. I'm a mom. I'm sorry. I'd be the Valkyrie going John Wick on somebody because it's like, you can. Yeah. I mean, you know me. Both of you know me. Anybody mess with me, that's it. I'll be calling from jail.
Yep.
Getting bailed out.
Oh yeah.
I would join you.
You'd be holding them. You're signed up.
But in 5 to 10 years, how are we going to trust any media? Seriously.
Yeah.
About 5 to 10 years from now.
We barely trust
Can you trust
it now.
Any? Yeah.
Yeah, I said you can't trust it now, and it's even
it's
it works. Yeah.
When it's seamless though, and it's like you can't tell really at all. I mean, when it gets perfected,
and it's literally
you couldn't trust media.
It's literally not whether or not you're paranoid. It's whether or not you're paranoid enough. Because some of the stuff that is coming out is just really, really, you know.
Yep.
And everything.
Not
imagine the
well.
Imagine the court system. All the audio and video evidence presented in the future is going to have to go through some kind of digital forensics.
And a lot of it is
invisible
in court.
Yeah. I mean, how is that going to play out, you know?
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Because video evidence has saved people from getting convicted, you know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the other direction. You know, there could be fake video evidence that gets somebody convicted.
Yeah, and
there's so much that you can
do on your phone. Just on your phone. You don't even need camera equipment.
The phone.
You can just do it from your phone.
Yeah, it's a little app. Yeah, you're there. But it is frightening.
It's easy. In fact, we were joking around about it the other day. It's like, we just, you know, sci-fi writers need to stop writing this stuff because they're teaching everybody how to do it. It's like there's so many good stories out there, and it's like, all you're doing is just giving them ideas.
Or warnings.
Just Star Trek, you know. We look back on Star Trek and you know, decades ago, you're looking at this and you're thinking, we can do that now. We do this now. We do that, you know. And it's all a matter of time.
And you can 3D print everything and you can, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, and policing it's just impossible.
Yeah, you can't.
Policing it, it's just, you know, we're going to start having these, if we don't already, have these, you know, secret government agencies that are, you know, monitoring all this stuff. And using it to their benefit.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
That's a trope.
It ain't to our,
and they realize
it ain't to our benefit.
Never.
Yeah.
But
going to do anything to our benefit.
But yeah, it is annoying though, because going back to the very first example that Vermillion used, and that was the, you know, the fellow that got the publishing deal, and you know, when the AI is what created the writing and the art for the book, I mean, and he got a publishing deal. And, I mean, to me, that just just blows my mind.
Well,
you know?
Being able to do something like that where you're, you know, influencing children, you know, and you're getting into being able to create stuff on the fly like that, but also with just went out of my head. I know music and music copyright, they're dealing with that AI for that too. The biggest thing though, ChatGPT and the college students. And they've got it now that there's apparently stuff that teachers can get a hold of that can spot AI, and they're having to actually use that on student papers to be able to tell whether or not it's been AI generated. And then you get companies like Microsoft and Adobe are both investing in AI, and they're doing, you know, some of the artists that I follow, I stopped following a couple of them, and I stopped following this one publisher that was doing webinars that I used to go to every once in a while online, just watch, you know, things because they're talking about, here's how to use AI. Here's how to publish your book using AI. Here's how to, and I'm like, delete, unsubscribe, delete, you know, and the fact that Adobe's doing it, that, you know, all of it just, it drives me crazy. Oh, Hasbro.
Oh.
Yeah, Hasbro and all huge thing with the tabletop stuff that they're dealing with. They're making it so that you can generate D&D modules and stuff using AI. And, you know, where's that pulling from? That's pulling from these private creators that, you know, we just did a big thing about the OpenGL. And it's not over. I think they underestimated the nerd community that we would all band together, but it was the nerds take over the world, but it was you know, they're still coming up with bad idea after bad idea. And they've lost so many people because of that, but you know,
I've done jobs for game modules as an editor for independent publishers that you know, come up with D&D compatible, you know, game modules. And yeah, so that knocks me out of editing work right there. You know, I mean, absolutely. I get that.
Pick up crochet. You can't crochet apparently.
Not yet.
they've tried it, and that's the one thing the AI can't do. It can't wrap its head around crochet, which just cracked me up.
Yet.
Give it time.
Yeah, I know.
If it can 3D
print, I know.
It can crochet. Because I guarantee you could 3D print a ball of yarn or an afghan. Think about
You can 3D print chocolate. You can 3D print ceramics. They're doing metal now. There's,
all
sorts of stuff. She's like, crochet for the win.
For now.
Hey, baby girl.
For now. Yeah, Issa's in the chat.
daughter,
see,
Rock Paper Fox is in the chat.
Rock Paper Fox is in the chat room, folks. And shout out.
We've been bragging on your Twitch stream.
Twitch and complimenting her on her TikToks, and it's fantastic.
I'm going to put her Twitch channel in here. I've been telling her she needs to get on here with me.
Yeah, she needs to get on here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can have her as a guest sometime too. Yeah, as well.
Yeah.
But, that'd be great. I mean, we,
yeah,
you know, we're not that
Twitch channel.
We're not that harsh.
No, God.
No,
we're easy.
We're the easy interviewers. But yeah, the AI is just
to live with me, so she's.
And it is covered. We will have that at the convention too, Renmillion. We did add a forum about AI and creatives. We did add
that
to the program.
Okay,
so
as they stick me on the panel for that.
Yeah, well, definitely. Because you've been tracking it, I know, diligently as we have.
I've got a list of examples and stuff that I've kind of been compiling because I've had people that have, you know, polite debate it with me. And a lot of them are like, I had no idea that was going on.
Yeah.
Here I am. Would you like to moderate that panel?
Sure.
Well, there, that solved that problem.
Well, I will put you down. Here's me doing Imaginarium work, you know. I'm like, hey.
Yeah,
there
multitasker.
You go. That's perfect.
Yeah, the example of multitasking.
Anything you guys need, I'm right there for you.
Well,
that's
in your wheelhouse.
I mean, you're looking at it from many different aspects.
Yeah, several fronts. Yep.
Yeah, from game design, from music, from, you know, any of that.
Oh yeah, they posted
some
AI generated Drake songs. You know, the artist Drake. And they were like sounded like new Drake songs. I mean, and a completely AI generated from top to bottom. Yes. They were going all over the place on Twitter. People on Twitter were just falling over.
Drake.
They were like, this sounds like a brand new Drake stuff. And they were saying, so Drake fans are saying, it sounds as good as.
Yeah. You're going to put Drake out of a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crap.
It's crazy.
You know,
It's
just unbelievable. And as I said, not only is AI taking over laborer jobs, now it's getting in the creative sphere. So look, when is it going to take over a surgeon's job? Because they already use robotics.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Scary is the fact that a doctor can go through and get a degree that's not his because he didn't earn it. And then they're going to let somebody cut them open because, they've got a degree. They know. Yeah, no. It's already hard enough to deal with, you know, navigate medical industry here in the U.S. You know, add that in, and it's just ridiculous. At that point, it's like, okay, I'm moving.
Yeah. Well, I have a hard time trusting much anyway. I'm going to have major trust issues. It's like older because there's nothing I can trust anymore out there. Just going to get absolutely crazy. That's why I said believe.
That's why I want to calm you. That's why
believe.
I want to calm you.
I've been telling you I am all over that idea.
Yeah.
Well,
build
then you,
art studio,
you sit down and start doing this planning.
Pottery throwing and garden and everything in the middle and concerts on the weekend. Campfires.
And we have our own piggies, our own cows.
We probably
won't be able to eat the same thing because we're going to love them and name them. And then we'll have our own chickies and then our own pond with fishies and then our own solar panels.
Go.
We can make those, by the way, now with old CDs.
Yep.
I just seen it there. Oh,
yeah. That was awesome.
Old CDs.
Old CDs.
Solar
panels. Truth.
I would actually have quail.
It was awesome.
I would actually have
quail
over chickens.
Nothing wrong with quail.
Quail eggs are actually better for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
My daughter raised them for a while, and then she had and the neighbor's dogs got in there in the fence.
Oh, no.
And there went the quail. Yeah, it was awful because, I mean, she had raised them from hatchlings. And and she was getting eggs, and we were eating the eggs, and she had so many eggs. I mean, we were making everything, you know, bacon,
like we're eating quiche all the time.
Right. So many eggs.
Issa and I have been talking about, you know, all the this stuff going on, you know, politics and medical industry and everything. And I've got friends in Sweden that are, and I'm actually learning Swedish, and I've got friends that are like, y'all need to come over here. And I'm that looking better and better.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, Finland's
Europe has the most happiest
place on earth.
Europe has some shockwaves going on right now. I mean, economically, it's just,
yeah.
I mean, there's not many places that look safe right now. I just look around the world and I'm like, oh boy.
Not unless you buy your own island out in the middle of Boo Boo and make your independent nation. We've already got this out.
That's my dream, but I'd love to do that.
We'll make Odinasha real. We'll make Odinasha real. That's the next novel that I'm working on.
It's possible, but a micronation is possible. And, it's interesting stuff. I loved the concept of seasteading, if you've ever heard of that, where people basically have floating platforms that are independent and out of, stay out of, basically kind of in a way. But they're not under any national jurisdiction, but it's called seasteading. It's a really interesting concept. Mm-hmm.
You still have to deal with pirates.
Yes.
Pirates are real. You still have to deal with pirates. You have to deal with a bunch of other stuff,
too.
That's
where the adventure and
it's essentially Waterworld.
Yeah.
And with the polar ice caps melting, we're not far from that. Montana's going to be oceanfront.
And Megalodons.
Eventually.
Florida's going to be gone. And don't you start talking about Meg.
More proof is emerging.
He loves the baggies.
Satellite photo recently caught something that they believe could theoretically be a megalodon. Yes, it was awesome.
Off
the coast of South America.
You have to send me that. I'd love to see that.
Yes.
I still say Nessie's a plesiosaur.
Yes.
With the cryptids, it gets into that realm of J.J. Abrams and the mystery box. Do you really want to know? Because then that thrill is gone. That, the part that intrigues us the most is the, theorizing and, the adventure of it. And J.J. Abrams, in all of his movies, all of his stories, works in the mystery box. He has a box that he got from his grandfather that he's never opened. He has no idea what's in it. Could be air, could be a $1,000 check, could be he's never opened it. Because once you open it, it's gone. The mystery is gone. So, he works that into all of his stuff. And it's like... Mm-hmm. I love cryptids, raising he's over here going Mothman, but, I love reading about that stuff. It's like the paranormal stuff. I'm a believer for sure because I've had a lot of stuff happen. We'll have to get into that story sometime, maybe towards Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Bring me on and we'll tell ghost stories. But,
absolutely.
I've had quite a bit of experience with that kind of stuff. Val and I went ghost hunting on our honeymoon. Once you figure it out though, it's kind of like, okay, well, darn, that's, maybe I didn't want to know. Maybe I wanted to be, amazed and intrigued and now it's gone.
There's that, yes.
That's like the whole there is that because like ghost hunting, people are, I watch some of these shows and I'm like, there is no belief or disbelief for me. I know they exist to them and seen them and spoke with them since I was a child, since I can remember. So it's not even a mystery to me or, something that I'm curious about or so. No, it just is a reality to me. So, I understand. I understand that. These people are like trying to find the truth. They do exist. I can 100% tell you that they do. It's like that with most of things. But, it takes the fun out of it, I guess. Because if we knew, Bigfoot, of course we theorized but there's people that swear that they're 100% sure he's real too. But I would love to see one. I don't even care if it would take the mystery out of it for me. I want to see one.
I want to see Nessie. Nessie's my thing.
Yes.
I want to
and
see Nessie
Megalodon because the Meg story. I need to read those books. I haven't read the books yet.
They're great. Oh, they're good. So good.
And anyway, Stephen keeps talking Steve about Alton. Them. I'm like, I need to watch. I need,
Steve
to, I need to read those.
I want to get him the Imaginarium. I have corresponded with them, and
agree.
I do want to get him the Imaginarium one year. But, yeah, Megalodon. But I'd have to be on the biggest darn boat that's ever been made to be on the water with one. It'll have to be from a distance. But I do want to be one of the – I want to be one of the world's first Megalodon activists. That's my dream, to be one of a world-recognized Megalodon activist. Once they're revealed.
Well, I showed you that. I showed you that O shirt, O search or O, it's CEARCH.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an app that has all the tracked sharks.
Nice.
And it's really interesting how far upriver they'll come from the, I mean, we're talking Great White.
Oh, yeah.
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Breeding grounds
water.
And stuff, and then coming in further inland, and I'm like,
they'll come up
that
brackish
water.
Bull sharks will too. Bull sharks will definitely come into the brackish water, and they'll come up river.
Travel thousands of miles to do so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, sharks are
but
interesting.
That was all I wrote about when I was in high school because I actually wanted to go into marine biology, but I couldn't get my junior and senior year of high school. We were college prep school, and I couldn't get past the formaldehyde. I was allergic to it. So they didn't have the computers back then to do what they do now with dissection because they actually can do it on a computer. But I ended up working rescue rehab with SeaWorld to be able to get my fix. But, that was in high school. Any chance I got to write a report on great whites, on Megalodon, on anything having to do with sharks, that was my jam. So you started talking my language when you were talking about Meg.
Well, Ranmelian and I will have to join forces and start the world's first Megalodon activist organization.
I'll do the logos and the patches. The stickers.
Right.
I know what to get. I know what to get Stephen for his birthday next year.
Yeah.
Or this year. It's 4th of July, right?
Yeah. Well, second.
We'll have to do a logo and I'll have to do a logo and do some stickers for you for your birthday.
Too funny.
He loves
gosh. Well, we have a couple minutes in the live show, and we can go over a little bit. Don't worry, Ranmelian, but I do want to give you a chance while the live show is going on to make sure you give out some of your contacts for people to find you, to the live listeners.
Ranmelian I was going to say Ranmelian on every platform, but I had somebody ask me if I was on OnlyFans, and it's like, no, I'm not. Okay, maybe not every platform, Yeah, Ren like Renaissance, me like myself, and Leon like some guy. So it's R-E, N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, E-L-E-O, N as in Nancy. And if you Google Ranmelian, you will get 10 pages of nothing but me.
Yes,
so
that is
Instagram,
true. And confirmed.
Twitter. The only one that's not Ranmelian is Pinterest, and that's A.M. Salvaggio. But if you go to renmelian.com, that's the portal to all the things. And it's got my links to Twitch, Patreon. I have the $5 level is a snail mail level. There's a $1 buy-in that you can get access to all the Patreon posts that aren't, higher level specific. I have a $60 rent-a-muse where you can meet up with me once a week and brainstorm and talk projects and that kind of thing via Zoom. Or if you're local, make an appointment and get together, go have coffee and just sit and brainstorm. So you get to rent my brain for an hour. and then I'm also doing the workshop at Imaginarium and doing this will be my third or fourth time teaching.
Mm-hmm.
We had people and I think we had like 8 people in the workshop last year, and we went the full, it was like 2.5 hours or two mm-hmm. hours.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we went, we moved, everybody came with me, and we moved to the lobby and talked and did it for another 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, and I have them in a Discord channel, and we talk now. So I will be teaching that. And build out your book is basically what are some of the other things that you can create to promote your book that are outside of the box thinking. And I provide resources and all that.
Very cool. That's awesome. I didn't even know that you had a what do you call it, rent a muse option?
Rent a muse. Yep. $60 yeah. rent a muse. $5 for snail mail. So I actually send out mail that's artwork and stuff.
That's cool. That is awesome. Yeah, there's just something special about tangible stuff. Yeah, there just is.
Yeah.
I say that as a vinyl collecting fanatic. Yes. Tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Paperback.
Yep.
Hardcover book. Love tangible.
Oh, we got
but,
a bunch of vinyl,
yeah,
too.
The art, yeah. Oh, that's too good. That's too good. So, yes, and you've got what kind – yeah, you mentioned several shows that you're doing, Two Crows and all. What is your schedule, I guess, through at least the summer? You know, you've already mentioned Imaginary, so you don't have to mention that again. But what else – what is your map of live events now? Just want to go over that again.
We're planning on being at the International Steampunk Symposium in June, and that is in Cincinnati. Our captain is running that in June. And then before that, May 13th, I'll be at Half Tone Zine Fest at the Art Hotel in Lexington. May 20th is our next Two Crows show, which is our Spring Bazaar. It's going to be behind Boone Tavern. It's going to be our first outdoor show. And that's 10 to 5 on Saturday, May 20th. We have our fall show booked, and I'm so excited. We got Churchill's, which is a gorgeous building, September 16th for mm-hmm. our fall market. That'll be our second annual fall market. And the building used to be industrial looms and weaving. It was Churchill Weaving, mm-hmm. and now they have a restaurant there called Honeysuckle. And it's this vintage building that's got, you know, these wall, you know, floor-to-ceiling glass, old glass windows, like the walls are glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. But that is going to be our new home for the spring and fall show, because we're booking the dates for next year for that. And then winter is going to be our winter pop-up on a Sunday, December 10th, at the historic Boone Tavern here in Berea.
Very cool.
Imaginary.
Very cool. That is yeah, you got so much going on. And then the two book releases in May with the children's books.
Yeah.
And will those be coming out under Dragonfly? Are those going to be?
Yeah, those are going to be coming out under Dragonfly Press Publishing. And I have the two children's books that are client books. I have one children's book that's my book that'll be coming out June or July, depending on how fast I can get the illustrations done with everything else going on. And Stalemate, I am looking to release in June. I should be doing advanced reader copies in May. I'm launching the Go Fish deck May 12th, I think. I'll have to look on Kickstarter. And that's a Go Fish. F-E-E-E-S-H deck. And I've got fabric and plushy toys, pillows, and the whole nine. There's a big pillow that I'm making that's an extended goal that the deck fits inside in a zipper pouch and the actual stuffed animal.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, so other projects. Maiden Mother Crone is a poetry / essay book that should be coming out soon, as well as Get Going. So, got a lot going on.
and as if that's not enough, what are the brown coats going to be doing? Because I know you have regular gatherings with them, and I know there's some conventions, obviously ours and all. But what's the brown coats activity going to be like? in the near future.
Yep, we do. Every month we do board game night on the second Thursday of the month at Bad Wolf Gaming in Berea. We may be changing locations at some point. We had a better turnout in Lexington because a lot of my members are in Lexington. So we were debating on switching it back up to Lexington.
But for now, we're at Bad Wolf. I'm looking into it.
The bowling. We just did bowling this past Sunday, and I've got the schedule up on renmelian.com. You can click on the Kentucky Brown Coat logo, and it'll go to a page that has a bunch of stuff on there for the dates. We've got the dates through July right now for bowling, but we'll have the rest of the year. And then we do, like, around Christmas, we do a Beijing party, which is kind of like a white elephant. So I'll have to get you guys out for that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, sounds good. And, yeah, we've covered so much. We've talked AI, your Twitch live streaming, Dragonfly Press, Two Crows. I mean, it's just, there's so much going on with you. Is there anything that – I know there probably is at least one thing that we haven't covered tonight that I want to make sure you get to cover the full base. Is there anything else that we have not covered that you would like to discuss?
I'm working on the next issue for and I'm probably going to talk about AI in there, but Automata is the next issue for Craft Paper Muse, and we
Fantastic.
Got to go last month for there was a special event at Kentucky Theater that was 15 Georges Méliès movies, silent movies with live orchestra. Or not orchestra, but there was three guys on stage that played 50 different traditional instruments and digital instruments. And I got to do an interview with Jean-Francois, who ran that, because Val and I went to the Sunday showing, and then they had another one on Monday that Issa and I went to.
Awesome.
Amazing stuff. That's if you've seen Hugo, you know who Georges Méliès is, because that story was very, very true to life for him. He actually ended up in a train station selling toys. So a lot of that was based on the factual life of Georges Méliès. If you've never seen Hugo, it's a brilliant book and a brilliant movie.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
That's
Very
coming
cool.
out. As soon as I can get it done.
Yeah, it's like you got so much on your plate. But yeah, that I think we've about covered the gamut here. This is not an easy task when it comes to you. Yeah, so I'm proud of that. But yeah, it's got a lot of cool stuff to go over. But I think we are, Holly. I think we're up to speed finally on the world of Renmelian.
I need to start a convention.
You don't want that. No, you don't.
Need to do RenCon.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
No, my God.
No way. No. I am not that stupid.
No.
I will happily sponsor and continue to support y'all for the rest of my life. I do not want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. Look, oh,
I
look at Oak Farm from outside. Yeah. Oh my God!
I don't suggest this to no one.
And thank y'all for everything that y'all do, because oh my gosh!
Well, thanks.
Just the convention, y'all are my deserted island. If I could only choose one convention to do for the rest of my life, it would be Imaginarium.
I know. I hope.
Period.
I wish we could get to the point to where we could do it, you know, twice a year and go to, like, you know, the West Coast or whatever. But right now it's just not plausible. You know, we have to get to that level of where we're making enough money to where I can actually pay staff and have staff that I do not have, you know, and to be able to do that. But yeah, I'd love to.
I think it's better to just stay focused on one, you know. People want to come out here, they'll come. I think the hybrid idea was really good.
True. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we just don't have the size of the group to do that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we will do. We will. We do plan on revisiting that as soon as we have the
at least
ability
doing,
to do it.
You know, like weekend retreats. You know, writing weekend retreats or you know whatever.
Yeah.
You know, down the road, but yeah,
I'm actually looking at talking to a couple of people about doing small art retreats, and writing was part of the idea that I was thinking about. So
yes. Small imaginary
satellite
event.
So maybe we'll
have
to collaborate on that.
Yes, in Belize. Good idea. That's exactly where we're going to do it.
Let's do it in Belize.
In Belize. That'd be the dream. Oh, man, this has been fun. But thank you so much, for joining us tonight, Vermilion.
Thank you.
It's always a great pleasure to catch up with you and talk with you. And I knew we'd have some bonus minutes because of how much stuff there is to talk about with you. But, yeah, thank you for sticking in there with us and going over a little bit because I want to make sure that we got everything. But I'll turn it over to Holly. If there's anything at all that you'd like to get in there, feel free to tell us.
Just renmillion.com. That's where all the updates are.
All right.
There you go.
Renmillion.com.
That's where her whole aspect of things are. You can find her on Twitch and TikTok and Facebook and, all the places. So Remillion.com.
All the places. Well, like she said, all the places, but not except for not only fans.
Yeah,
not
only fans.
Yeah.
Not
only
fans.
No,
we're not there.
Not there. But everything else, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
But thank you for coming out tonight, Vermilion. It's always
thank
a joy,
so
and I'll see you here in a couple weeks. But we have our D&D group. That's always fun.
So excited.
So much fun. But thank you for joining us tonight, and
join us
next week, listeners out there in the ether, for another great guest, another great chat. Maybe learn a little. Maybe get your creative juices flowing. And enjoy the rest of your week. Create something. Good night.